Hi, welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. Today we're going to spend all day talking about SAML. My name is Jaime Rodriguez, I'm a Windows evangelist, and today with me is Laurent.
Hello, my name is Laurent Bunion, I work with IdentityMind. I'm very happy to be here today with Jaime and to talk about XAML, XAML, XAML.
Yep, and for context, I guess, so an introduction, we've been doing SAML since it was called Avalon. So
yes.
We can't remember if it was 8 or 9 years ago that we started doing SAML. We've been doing it with WPF, Silverlight. We're now doing Windows Store apps. So, and we're going to talk about SAML from a very generic point of view. What you're going to learn today, it's going to be reusable across all platforms. So.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea being that you have this platform, which is very agnostic, which is there on actually a large number of devices and platforms. There are differences between the frameworks. I think we all, know that by building multiple applications. But this is XAML on top. We are going to show everything you can do with that, and we are going to show a few small differences. But basically, it's really a good feeling to go with the same tools, same skills, and same applications.
Yep. And today with us, we also have three experts, Matthias Shapiro, Nisha Singh, and Nikola Mitulev. They're all Windows evangelists. They're all great SAML experts, so they're answering Q&A. Make sure you submit your questions as we go throughout the day. Some of those, if they don't answer or if they think it's something worth sharing with the rest of the audience, we will just read out loud here. So make sure you stay active. You keep asking questions. Don't wait for us to stop or, to have Q&A. We will have Q&A at the end of every session. And speaking of sessions, our agenda for today kind of looks like this. We're going to do our best to try to keep to this schedule with one-hour blocks. We might run 5 minutes over, 5 minutes under, but we will make sure we accommodate, and we'll make sure to give you a break about every hour. And then around noon Pacific time, we will have 1 hour for lunch or for you to eat dinner wherever you are. So keep track of these. And these will all be available online and later for recording. And with that, let's get started with SAML. Last question, I guess. We are going from 0 to 60 today. If you know Laurent or I and you follow what we do and you already know a lot of SAML, the first hour you're going to be a little bit bored or you're going to be recapping things that you already know because we're literally starting people from 0. We're going to teach them how to spell XAML, and then we're going to go deep, into everything else. So be patient as we go throughout the day. We'll make sure that we have snippets and really good insights as we go throughout the day. So even during the basics, you're going to learn something good. But, it's going to be from the beginning. It's going to be the very, very basic SAML. And with that, I thought we would begin by showing you a couple SAML applications just so you get an idea of what we're building today and what people are actually, kind of using SAML for today. So let's start right here with a couple Windows Store apps. And let's start right here, for example, with the Twitter applications, which is built using SAML. And this is just a very, great Twitter experience. You can see here, the Twitter feed. I can actually click on somebody, one of the person tweeting and see their profile. And it's got a really great experience where I can use multi-touch. I can dive deep as I go. Everything that you would expect out of Twitter is available here in a really great experience. They're using SAML, they're using C#, so they have an object-oriented language. They have some really great developer productivity, and you're going to learn about all the features that you use to build these kinds of applications. And another application real quick, if I was to show you another one, there's a couple that I want to show you here. Something that looks a little bit less data-driven. This is actually very data-driven, but it doesn't have a very traditional data-driven look and feel. So you can see here, for example, this is Cocktail Flow, and this is used to make drinks. So it's probably Laurent's favorite app.
I didn't know that.
So I can go here, and I can just look around and see, any kind of drink that I want to make. I see the ingredients. I see, step-by-step instructions. I see people, feedback from people who submitted this, or who actually made this app before and submitted feedback. I see everything that I need. So it's got some gorgeous graphics. It's got some really nice transitions and animations. And again, it's all using SAML. And the reason I showed you those two apps, and bear with me, I have to launch something because we switched devices here. is because the reason I show you those two apps is because I wanted to show you those exact same apps running on Windows Phone right here. So I have a phone right here, and I have, for example, Twitter app. And you're going to see a similar user experience. You see all that branding carries through, and this is actually using SAML on the phone. And the phone is not online. That's why we got the little warning there. But there's some data cache right there. So you're actually seeing the exact same SAML application. You're seeing all the exact same principles. You're seeing a little bit of code sharing on that same Twitter app, and the same for Cocktail Flow. So that's our goal for today. We're going to talk about all these foundations. We're going to talk about all these elements that you use to make SAML applications, and you're going to be able to reuse them across Windows Phone. You're going to be able to reuse them across Windows Store apps. That's what we're going to focus on today. But for full context, and we're going to talk about it as we go, you can also use this in WPF or Silverlight on the desktop to build full desktop applications. So,
and in fact, we have quite a few demos for WPF as well.
Yep. Right? So,
same XAML, same language, same skills.
Yep. So that's where we're going to be all day. Hopefully that sets your, that clears your expectations. Hopefully that aligns with what you were expecting. And let's go ahead and start XAML from 0 to 60, starting at 0. All right, here we go with the basics. XAML stands for Extensible Application Markup Language. Again, we've been doing it long enough where it used to stand for us with Extensible Avalon Markup Language. But now the official thing is Extensible Application Markup Language. And it's pronounced XAML. Kind of sounds like you're pronouncing with a Z. So XAML. And all it is a serialization and initialization format. For example, right here, you're seeing XAML on your screen, but this is actually a workflow. So XAML is used for presentation, and XAML is used also for workflows. Mm-hmm. So Workflow Foundation and other technology from Microsoft.
And in fact, a great usage for XAML is to serialize your objects. So I use it very often when I want, when I have settings that I was, that I want to save in a simple application. If I don't have a database, I will just write my settings view model or whatever I have to XAML, save that on the disk. You can even make it binary if you want it to go faster. And then you have a great experience. This is absolutely human-readable. It's a machine language, but you can read it very easily, so it's a good experience.
Yep. Yeah, and that's actually why we arrive at XAML. When you think about XAML from a user interface standpoint, what we have here is a little snippet, and this shows you a page which has a couple, a grid layout and a button inside of it. So it's a page with controls. It's showing you some styling. It's showing you data binding. So you see the power of XAML. It's just this little snippet. We have like four or five features that we're going to spend probably a whole hour talking about each, one hour on each today. And to go back to Lorenz Pond, the interesting thing here is that the reason Microsoft chose XAML many years ago is because we really liked that it was XML. We really liked that the declarative angle was very toolable. We thought, hey, if we go here, we will be able to use we'll be able to create great tools so that developers can be very proactive and very rapid about developing applications. And you see here in this slide, I have something that says recommended. So one thing that I run into a lot, Laurent, is people who, for example, they come from Xcode, and they're very hesitant to use the tools, and they're very hesitant to, kind of give control to XAML or to XML. They're more used to, I want to control everything via code. So for us, I'm going to say this is what we would recommend. We think you're going to be much more productive.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a lot more fun. You're going to be fighting the tools a lot less. You're going to be leveraging the frameworks a lot more if you kind of embrace it.
Because the point being that since this is a serialization language, you can actually do all you do in XAML in code.
Yep.
You can just write var my button equals new button. However, everything is taking more space, and especially there are some operations which are really hard, like creating animations, creating visual states, things like that are just easier to write in XAML. Even writing an animation by hand in XAML takes a lot less lines of code than writing an animation by hand in code. Yep. So you have, of course, this is XML, so you have a nice IntelliSense. This is strict. It's not HTML. It's absolutely strict. It is compiled. You see errors when you build them. So that's a very nice experience.
Yep. So yes, don't fight it. It's our recommendation. You're going to see us code SAML by hand most of the day. We're going to use Blend a lot. We're also going to do a lot of by hand just because it's simpler. We want you to understand it and see us type it and do everything else. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see that you're still very much in control.
And if I may say, for the people who come from other frameworks where they use markup, there is always this problem that when you have tool-generated markup, it gets messy. We all remember the days of the web designers and all that. We have a great experience in XAML. Blend actually respects your markup very much. So if you format your markup, and I'm a big XAML formatter. I have the Control K, Control D shortcut that I use all the time for good reasons. If you do that, Blend is absolutely going to respect that. So even though it's tool generated, even though you use a tool to kind of assist yourself, it's really a good experience, and when you check it in, actually the merging experience is very painless because of that feature.
Yep. And so you can see here on the slide, we have kind of a declarative example which shows you the value of SAML. You can see here one line of SAML, I can declare a button, give it its content, assign width, height, and a background. Very simple, very straightforward to read, very human readable. Whereas here I have the exact same code to do the exact same thing, and that's five or six lines of code. So it's a little bit more verbose. You'll see that you'll be able to go back and forth. Again, SAML is nothing but serialization and initialization.
The great feature on that slide, if I may say, is the background is always fantastic because you have in code to create a new solid color brush which takes as argument a colors.green, right?
Yep.
Which is an enumeration. While XAML has a lot of type converters which are very, very powerful, and simply typing green will trigger a whole lot of conversions when the XAML is parsed. But that is pretty much instantaneous, so you don't really have a big impact. And this is, of course, very much nicer to write.
Yep. And in a minute, we'll get to the tools, and you'll see that we'll have IntelliSense. So you'll be very, very effective at coding in SAML. And let's start with the basics. So SAML is XML. If you think about how we represent objects, here's kind of a highest level, think about all XML elements will be representing an object. So if you go back in here, or if you see this snippet right here, a button is an object. And then the button has all these properties called content, width, height, and we're actually just representing those properties or those properties in the object as attributes, XML attributes in the code. So that's kind of how we represent most of the SAML. Then we have these other richer syntax that we call property element syntax, and you see it right here with the button.background. Now here in the previous slide, I did just say background equals green, and that kind of took advantage of some type converters and some other features. But if you want to be very verbose about it, you can still use the property element syntax and do button.background, solid color brush, color equals green, and that kind of gives you an element syntax. And in some cases, you will need to use that kind of syntax. So as you become an expert, you'll be very effective at picking which one you use, and you can use either one. They both will do the same. And then we also have this thing called a content property syntax, which is the way Microsoft declares their SAML controls and the elements, we can specify kind of a default property, which is the content property. And for example, here I have button and I have width equals 100, height, and you see the click me is the content inside the button, right? And you can declare it that way. The tools will, by usual, try to use the actual attributes, and I recommend you do that too. But if you want to use the XML inside the element, that's fine. That's, we have that availability with content property syntax. Mm-hmm. It just has to be a control that has that content property attribute set.
Yeah, it might seem a little bit gratuitous here, but there is a point to that, right? When you use a string, it doesn't quite make sense, but you can actually put pretty much anything inside a button or any content controls. The content property is object.
Yep.
So you can put very easily images, or you can even put a grid and then build a whole UI inside your button and make it clickable, which is really a nice feature.
Yep. And same thing, we have support for collections. So for example, if you had a linear gradient brush, which later you're going to see Laurent create some of this, and this is where I tell you, do not fight the tool, right? If you'll see Laurent later on going to blend, drag two colors and create a beautiful gradient, that's going to be very verbose like this.
Probably going to do five or six even colors.
Yep. And so those will be very verbose, and you can see that the tool will generate all that for you. And what I'm showing you here is the syntax where gradient stops is actually a collection. It's a great in-stop collection, and you can see here it will have many elements. If you were declaring your own list, for example, you will do the exact same thing. You could insert multiple elements. You will see layout controls later that have multiple children elements mm-hmm. inside of it, and we let you get away with that mm-hmm. kind of syntax in the XML.
And by the way, we talk a lot here about UI elements as objects, but like you said, right, XAML can be used to serialize or deserialize any object, so we are going actually later in this day, we are going to put some objects in XAML, use them as resources, and that can be very useful if you want to use those data objects later, you know, with bindings or things like that.
Yep. And here you have the combination of the content property, so the default property with a collection, where stack panel has a content property children, that's a collection, and you see everything there. So the very basics are all there. This is a type converter, as Laurent mentioned earlier. This is, you know, one of the areas where XAML gives you a lot of power. So it ships with a lot of type converters for colors, for thickness, which is, you know, what you use to declare margins and some paddings and certain kind of layout-related elements. And you can see here, you're just typing strings. You're saying background equals red, and that there's a type converter underneath that's actually going in there and looking at a, you know, kind of a strong type object collection of colors and saying, finding the colors.red and mapping all of those things back and forth. This will happen for enumerators, for URIs, so for a lot of different types. All of these come native with the platform, so as you get familiar with it, you're just going to be able to do a little bit more as you go. And the next thing that XAML has is this concept of markup extensions, mm-hmm. Which is where XAML kind of extends, you know, the platform. And this is where you introduce concepts that we're going to learn later about. For example, data binding or resources or, you know, certain things that we will have in there, like extensions for design time data. Right, we can extend the language with this special syntax that you see. All markup extensions will always begin with this little curly bracket. Mm-hmm. And in some platforms like WPF, the markup extensions are extensible. In other ones, you're just getting the ones that come from Microsoft. But those are going to be enough for mm-hmm. you to be very effective and very powerful with your XAML.
Yeah, the way I think about it is that every time I see the curly bracket, it means, okay, this is an object.
Yep.
And then you have the next word, which tells you how is this object created. It could be a binding, could be a resource, it could be pretty much, you know, any object that you can think of.
Yep. So that's kind of where we're at. And then the next thing is namespaces. If you think about XAML being just a serialization language, and if you think about it just being initializing and serializing objects, we have CLR, we have .NET objects that we're creating on any language, VB, C#, even C++, and those are organized in namespaces. And what we have to do is bring them onto XAML, and when we want to bring it onto XAML and references, we have to do that kind of mapping that says, mm-hmm. oh, look, in this XAML document, I'm going to reference these objects that exist on this namespace, and this mm-hmm. is how we do it. You see here XML namespace local, which is kind of a standard thing we use for the local project. Then for the default namespace on the local project, we usually put a local in mm-hmm. there, which is just your default namespace.
It could be any word. I mean, but this is just kind of a convention that we
yep.
use. Yeah.
Local is a standard convention. But for example, here I have a local one, which is, you know, mapping to app1, because that was my very creative name of the app. And then, for example, I have one right here called XML's UI, which is actually the one that is done by default when you drag and drop a Microsoft Ad SDK control onto it. They give you that really long Microsoft.advertising.winrt.UI.
Mm-hmm.
And just wait till marketing gets a hold of it, and then it's going to be version 2, Service Pack 3, mm-hmm. or something like that. It'll get even longer.
Maybe one thing we can precise here, because some of them are URIs, and this is kind of confusing a little bit. And some of them start with a keyword using, or in other frameworks, that would be WinRT, right? In other frameworks, we have CLR-namespace, which is another way to do things. The URI here is really just a unique namespace. It's not actually a URL which exists on the web, though some of them may or may not, right? And the reason why we do that is that there is a neat way to group multiple CLR namespaces into one convenient URI. And this is a mapping which is quite useful, which allows you to avoid writing too many namespaces.
Yep. But again, the ones that are not URIs, the ones that are namespaces that you're using, are the ones that you need in order to map your
Correct.
Object. So you'll definitely have to use those. And the other ones, the ones that are URIs, are usually inserted by the tool, so you don't have to remember them.
Yeah. Well, as a library maker, you can actually, you know, use that feature and say, okay, I want my users to not have to type always CLR namespace, you know, colon, identity mine dot, blah, blah, blah. So you can say, okay, just type, you know, XMLNS, identity-mine equals, and then http://identity-mine.com, and you have it. And yep. I said identity-mine probably 5 times now.
Yep, that's who he works for. and we thank them for letting him come. He's volunteering. So
I'm really happy to be here.
So if we go back to the slides, if you don't mind. That's kind of the basic XAML. Honestly, that's all you need to know to get around the XAML, the XML, the elements, and all the stuff. But if you're one of those guys that like to impress girls at parties and by reading them, talking about XAML syntax or the XAML spec, we do have a 50-page document with the whole specification.
Yep.
It's a public spec out there. And we do have a great link with the XAML syntax in detail in our Dev Center. So make sure you can go in there and check it out and read everything there.
So we started with cocktails. Now we have, impressing the girls at parties. That's
a great
start, I think.
Trend here, right?
I love it.
I love you. Love you, honey. So that's it. That's the basic of XAML. Honestly, that's all you'll need to know. From here on, we get into the tools and we start talking about elements and controls and brushes and everything else. So let me introduce you a little bit of the tool so we can get you more familiar with what we can do. So here is Visual Studio. You can use any version of Visual Studio. We have something called Visual Studio Express for all platforms, which is going to be a free version of Visual Studio, and you'll be able to generate XAML projects for phone, for WPF, for Windows Store apps.
So, and by the way, the Express version is really fantastic. So for all beginners, it's really great. It also comes with Blend. So there is actually a free version of Blend coming with every version of Express, and everything we do today in Blend or in Visual Studio, you can actually do it for free. So that's really great.
So you can see here, I did a file, new project, and I get these templates already. So whether I'm creating a Windows Store project or maybe a Windows Phone project, there's templates already out of the box that you can use to kind of give you that basic structure. So let's start with the simplest template that we have here, which is Blank App. And I'm just going to walk you around to the tools and show you how things come together. This is Visual Studio, so we do have source control integration. You can opt out of it. So I'll just say cancel here. And you see that it kind of generated a default project, and the default project already has this thing called main page. And this, as you can see here, I'm actually going to try to show you a little bit of the designer and the XAML together. So let me zoom out a little bit. We're a very low resolution, and we're remote desktop into these machines, so bear with us as we go. We'll try to make sure that things are a little bit big. So here's my design surface, and underneath here, I'm actually showing you a split view, so you can see the XAML that is generating. And you can see here, for example, if you come from any other platform, you kind of expect a toolbox with all the controls, and you'll be able to drag things around. So I'm just going to drag a button right here, make it a little bit big, and you see there, as I dragged it, I dropped it in there, and it automatically aligned it inside the grid, gave it margins, gave everything else. And you can see here, for example, it's got a margin of 420. I could come in and manually edit the XAML if I want to, so I can decrease these, let's say, to 400 if I want to.
That is a great feature of XAML, this immediate relationship. And I think for people coming from other frameworks like Windows Forms, for example, where this is very hidden, you have a great designer in Windows Forms. But if you really want to go and pixel perfect your UI, sometimes you have to go and edit XAML. So that's a fantastic feature.
Yep. And it's very, very much optimized to do typing. So for example, here, if I want to add a button, you can see here the IntelliSense starts, coming in. I can say content equals, click me, and, keep going as we go. And you can see here, for example, the exact same thing, horizontal alignment, vertical
equals
alignment, everything in there. I can just tab out, and
it gives
me the options for the enumerators, everything that I would actually want to do. If I wanted to, for example, do some data binding, I could just go back here, and let's say we add a text box. And I'm not doing layout here, so let's just do hello world, right? And it's just a text box right there. I'll be able to type into it. Let me make sure I give it a width and a height, because that took too much.
Yeah, it's too big.
And it's adding them on the top, because I'm not adding any layout. We'll cover layout.
Which, by the way, is interesting, right? By not giving a height and a width here, the text box was just taking the whole space, and it was actually in front of the button, and you could kind of see the button through it, because the default style for a text box is that it's a little bit transparent. So you can also compose your UI like that, put things on top of each other. You have a lot of freedom because of the rendering engine, which is actually rendering your UI.
Yep. And you see here, it's just generated all my XAML. For example, I have a text box, and I wanted to show you data binding. So I can just come back here, go to the content, and then just say binding. and bind it to that text box that we just added, and it's just say element name equals, let's just call it text, and I haven't named it here, so let's just go back and add an X name. And I can just say path equals text, and I just use the word text three times in the exact same thing, but that's just data bounded. And you can see here, now my button, if I go back here, let's change the appearance a little bit so you can see it better. Let's just change the background right here to be red, and let's make that text much, much bigger. So I can just go back here and increase my font. You'll see here that it kind of data bounded into right there onto the text box. So now if I go back and change the text in the text box, and this is design time. We're not even running the app right now. This is just our design time experience right now. If I go back here and I just change the text to be Samuel Rocks, right? The button is there. It's all happening on the fly. You can see there, I can go back and edit the SAML by hand. I can go back and forth with my tools. You have all my property editor here, so I can go back and customize this button as much as I want. You saw me do a brush. I can do something like, for example, a transform where I rotate this button a little bit. I can just go back here and just say rotate it, you know, a few, and this is still a button. The power of SAML, you're going to learn throughout the day as we transform objects and everything, the composition and the power of SAML is very, very strong. You'll see here, this button's still functional. I can come back here and add an event handler right here and just say onClick, right? And here I can do something, anything I want. So for example, I can change the text again. Text.text, that's my text box, equals works. Right, and now let's run this app, and you can see here, I'm going to show it to you in the simulator.
Semicolon.
Oops, semicolon. Okay. The glare here is getting me.
Tell you everything when you build anyway, but let's just.
Actually, that's a good example. We'll show you a minute. It's going to take me about probably 2 hours to get familiar with this keyboard and the machine, and then we'll have to go. So we have our button right here. You see it's just, you know, it's transformed, but it's an interactive button. You can see here, whenever I hover, if I press it, you see that the text changed to works. So you saw right there, three lines of code. We have data binded, we have some rich talents, we have transforms. This is what SAML is all about. There's a lot of power behind the language. We're going to spend all day. You're going to learn a lot more about that.
And by the way, this transform is illustrate one of the powers of this, you know, rendering engine like that I mentioned. If you click just next to the button, it's actually not going to actuate the button. So this is not, we are not living in boxes anymore. We are really living in a world where you can compose your UI, you can do clips, you can do anything you want, and click through an element, and that's going to just work, including images, videos, anything, really. So that's a great feature. Now, the thing I wanted to mention is that you were showing the IntelliSense. The Blend and Visual Studio team is hard at work, and in fact, at Build, which was 2 weeks ago, they showed new features where you have really a nice IntelliSense feature even within the binding, so that the name that you are not quite sure, is it text or etc., will actually you know, come in and help you with additional IntelliSense, which is a really cool feature.
So, and in fact, let's walk through a little bit of the project structure so they can see a little bit more. Let me show you a couple of things that will show you again what SAML is all about. So first thing, this is what the template generated, and it has this app.saml. And you see here, this app.saml is an application, and here, later on, we're going to add resources and show you what you can do here at kind of at the highest scope level. But you can see here, behind it, there's a code behind. We call it the code behind file, which is the SAML C-sharp, SAML C-sharp classes. This is something the compiler will take care of, right? So you can see here, we have a partial class, and it's called, you know, the namespace app13, and the class name is application. And if I go back to the app.saml, you will see that there's an X class. And so what we're doing here is you're actually creating SAML, and then we will act the compiler and the SAML compiler and the parsers will actually go back and marry these to this app class that we have a code behind. So everything will be back and forth. You'll be able to connect those two, and you'll see me in a minute how some of those things are already connected with some of the code we did. For example, you saw me add the event handler. I did it from the designer. I just type click equals, and you know, and I went back onto code, and then that actually changed the data. So that all works.
And maybe just a quick word about the X colon, which is kind of confusing people a little bit. So like we said, XAML is extensible. And here what we do is that there are a set of properties that you want to have on pretty much every class. Mm-hmm. So as a developer, when you class the application class, you don't want to have to add a class property. And then after that, you go on your page, and you also have to add it. And then you go on another one. So here we use a feature of XAML, which is that we just have this class property defined somewhere else. And mm-hmm. then it's just there. And then when we add it to any object using X colon class, then this property becomes active for that class in particular.
Yep. And you see here, for example, we use X also here where I use these, I have this text element that I created, this text box. And let's
and
go
you have
back.
Its name.
Right. And I gave it a name. This is going to be really, really important attribute for you, because whenever you have a XAML element and you say X name equals, what the compiler will do is it will actually generate a code behind member. If you go look at our code behind here, you'll see that from code, I reference this text. Mm-hmm. So this is actually a reference to that text box. Mm-hmm. Right. If you're thinking about, so they're actually together. If you come from the Xcode world, this is an outlet, right? We connect back onto that world where the XAML and the code behind are connected. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my
For Android, by the way, they have also this concept of activities, which are really like a code behind, really.
Yep. In fact, my by far favorite feature in a long time is this. This is Visual Studio 2013, so it's in beta. Go download it now; it's free. Download it. It's really, really great. It has a lot of new features, much better performance. And my new favorite, or my by far favorite feature is, I'm in the code behind right here. I can right-click on it and say, go to definition. And it takes me all the way back to the XAML.
To the XAML, which
but
is beautiful.
That is huge. No matter how big the project, no matter whether this was a resource or a style or something mm-hmm. else, I can go from anywhere now in my solution and click mm-hmm. the go to definition, and it's going to send me back to that world. Mm-hmm. So
and force, by the way. If you're in XAML, you can also go to definition. If you have an object somewhere in your code, it's going to bring you to that object, which is really nice.
Yep. So thanks to the Visual Studio and Blend team for that. Made my summer. That by itself. In fact, I'm using Visual 2013 only because I really, really love that feature. And the performance is a lot better. For those of you who are kind of new and come from different platforms, especially if you come, like, let's say, Windows Forms or Xcode or anything, one of the things that I always explain people is that some of those designers, like the Windows Forms designer, was very simple. It did so little, right, that it was very, performant and very effective. And with the XAML designer, in Visual Studio today, we're still working through it. We've kind of re-platformed every few years because when we did WPF, we did Phone, we're doing Windows Store.
Silverlight.
Silverlight. So we're kind of doing, the designer's still coming up to features. If you look at the designer today, it's probably, where it was 18 months ago in a different platform. And the performance is improving daily. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that, developers often complain about. Is like, hey, I'm much more effective at typing the XAML. And that's okay. That's something we know about, and that's something that our XAML team is actually very, very proud of. For example, you'll see here, let me just stop the debugger, and I'll show you a couple tips where, like, we fully expect you to, in some cases, type by hand. For example, I drag this textbook right here, and it has this longer-term syntax where it has opening element and a closing element. Right, well, check this out. I can just put the slash there. Yeah. And the editor is so smart. It's like, okay, I'm going to go back and transform that. I'm going to mm-hmm. change that because he just closed that element. I no longer need this other element. So we do expect people to code it by hand. Again, don't fight the system. If you're mm-hmm. more effective, I develop a lot in HTML, and I would love to use tools. But when it comes to HTML, I can type it faster than I can use, mm-hmm. Front Page or Dreamweaver or any tool out there, right? So I'm used to that, and it's okay to do that on XAML. Mm-hmm. It's very much okay. Mm-hmm. We also have a great designer. If you start in the designer, it's a really great way to get familiar, to drag things mm-hmm. around and see what is generated.
Yeah, it's very much a question of roles, the way I see it. We have different roles working on an application, and we have really developers who are hardcore coders. They are going to live in the XAML editor pretty much, in the source editor, right? And then you have people like me who are a little bit in between, and I'm going to live very much in the designer or in Blend. But I always fall back to XAML if I want to have really, exact control. And this is really the beauty of that, this immediate relationship between both, that I can say, well, I don't want 10 pixels. I actually want, 11 or even 10.5, because you can actually do that, right? Everything is double.
Yep.
So that's the beauty of that. You have really full control. You can decide which one you use.
Yep. And last feature I'll show you here before we go. Actually, I'll show you a couple more on the edit, but I want to show you some areas where SAML or the designers do a lot of work for you. So for example, here I have the add control. And I could drag and drop it here right onto, for example, my design surface. Or I can even come here and just drag and drop it here inside the grid. And it automatically will go back and go ahead and add my add control right here. And it did a lot more work than that. So, for example, what you'll see here, by me dragging that control onto that design surface, it went back and added a reference to the project. It went back and created a namespace mapping like I showed you earlier right here. So we can go back here and look for the namespace mapping. Here we go. UI equals Microsoft Advertising Winner TUI. Mm-hmm. So there's areas where the designer can definitely save you from writing a lot of code. Again, uh-huh. You'll see this with brushes. There's a lot of things that I cannot do. Animations, brushes, mm-hmm. Even templates are much, much easier to do with the tools.
That's correct.
But that's kind of where we're at with regards to...
And also, the one thing which is nice is that the designer is actually using not the markup directly, but it's actually doing a lot of assemblies, loading, and all that. So you have all this dynamism. It's not a static designer at all, and I think we'll really illustrate that when we go into Blend. The Visual Studio designer is Blend under the cover. So you have exactly the same engine, exactly the same interface. The properties panel looks the same. Blend is a standalone application with a little bit more features. You can do animations, you can do things like that. But basically, you use really the same tool. You are very familiar with the skills. And that is new in Visual Studio 2012. So for those of you out there who do a lot of WPF 3.5, some of you are still on Visual Studio 2010. Where the designer is a little bit slower, is a little bit clunkier, I would say. If you have the possibility to move to 2012, it will really improve your development cycle quite a lot. So you should probably try to do that.
Yep, and 2013 is where I think we're hitting it right on the head. I'm really, really excited about the fall when we ship this because performance is a mm-hmm. lot better. Like, I'm seeing 10x performance in a lot of my design experience. Mm-hmm. In some of them, they were the bigger ones, things that were hard to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're seeing a lot of really great improvements. We're seeing a lot of benefits. And we're mm-hmm. still working through it. So I'm not going to say it's going to be perfect because there will always be room for improvements. The last thing I'll show you here with that kind of attaches onto SAML is right here. I can go and do view, other windows, and look for my document outline. And this gives you kind of a document outline of what we have here, like what we've dragged back and forth with regards to the page that we're actually showing on the screen. Now, this page is pretty empty, but if you had a larger project and you had a lot of elements and everything, coming through that document outline and navigating through it would be very, very beneficial. This is something you're going to see a lot when we get onto Blend. You're going to see, Laurent kind of go in there and see much bigger outlines. As we go in there with real projects, that's a feature that you would want to have.
You can also use the outline, for example, if you want to hide parts of your UI, because at Design Time Experience, if you layer your UI, XAML being a very much a layered structure, right? It's a hierarchical, very hard to say, structure. You're going to have all that in your document outline. You can, hide place things which are on top of each other so that you can access the thing below. So it's a very nice experience, yeah.
Yep. And there's one more code feature I want to show you so you kind of get the whole grasp of how SAML and how everything's together. So we talk about these. We have a mainpage.saml, and that's actually a partial class that's being tied to this mainpage partial class right here. Now, when we parse through that SAML, we actually generate some extra code behind files, right? So you see, for example, this is a partial class right here, and it's saying, hey, call this dot initialized component. You're going to see these on every single one of your classes, on your app, and everything else. So you're going to see a lot of these. And where's this defined and what's going on? So if I, again, go to definition, you'll see right here, there's a main page.g.i.cs. The G always stands for generated.
Mm-hmm.
It should be like, do not touch this file because those will be overwritten. But this is generated code. And you can see a little bit of what happened behind the scenes with regards to what we had. For example, we have this text that we called, this text member that we gave it an X name, and the X name was name.
It was a text
and
box
element. And you see here, right here, it's a text box
screen,
element.
Yeah.
So you see the full namespace right here, the full textbox declaration. Mm-hmm. You see that the variable name is text. You'll see here that they're initializing and they're kind of going in there, walking through the tree, which we're going to learn about later, you know, in the day, mm-hmm. And finding it right here by name and saying, oh, here's the text. Let's go back and just, you know, connect those two together so he can use them from code behind. Mm-hmm. And that's how all these files are there. If you want to look at the code behind files, go back here into Solution Explorer and click on the Show All Files, and then they're going to be there on your OBJ directories. So you can go back there and see your code behind files, just so you get familiar with it. Again, mm-hmm. code behinds do not edit. Or, sorry, generated files do not edit. Code behinds with your business logic, party on. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's kind of where we're going to be. So that gives you a kind of a high-level sense of the tooling. That tells you how everything is connected. Again, 0 to 60, so we're starting slow, but we're going to get from here on, we're already at 15 miles per hour as we go back and forth. So
which is unusual for you, right?
Yeah, that's so. It's funny, I haven't done SAML training in years.
So oh, I'm talking about the driving here.
Oh, you've seen me drive. So Blend, you're going to show, we're going to show later in the day. We're going to spend a lot of time in Blend, so you're going to get a proper demo as we go. And then later, you're also going to see another tool, XAMLSpy, which is mm-hmm. also very, very useful for you. And then before we move on, I do want to give you kind of like my version of what I call the XAML umbrella, which is, again, throughout the day, we're going to show you XAML. And this is the core XAML that you can use for anything. But if you're new and you want to figure out, hey, what kind of apps should I be writing and what technology should I be using, here's kind of my high-level view onto the frameworks that we have. So it all started with WPF, and XAML was the answer for creating richer, immersive applications for the desktop. That's where we started, and then immediately we said, oh, we have to take this cross-platform, and we moved to Silverlight. Now, if you think about it, WPF is a desktop technology, so it's the bigger one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of features there, like text, 3D. There's some other features, like triggers, that kind of like we kind of dropped them as we went along because user feedback was like, hey, triggers is hard to use. Why don't you give me visual states? So in some cases, you'll hear about features that are only in WPF. There's very few, and you can get away with writing full applications, very immersive applications, without using some of those features and sharing a lot of your code.
Well, in some cases, you find some hardcore WPF developers who are a little bit disappointed that they don't have this huge power in other platforms. I think the compromise here being that, okay, you had data trigger in WPF, like you say, it's really optimized. Everything is serialized to binary. Everything is loading very fast. When you move to small devices like Windows Phone or even WinRT devices running on ARM, all those features are maybe a little bit slower. And so there was a huge set of optimization back then when Silverlight was created, where basically we have this really small and very powerful and very fast core engine. And then they added things on top to make it more friendly. And this is where, Visual State Manager came to the mix and all that. That explained a little bit the discrepancies that we see between the platforms. But I think that with the latest version of WPF, especially, we see really that all those features are coming back. You have Visual State Manager in WPF. So you can really write very much, compatible code between all those platforms.
Yep. And the knowledge transfers back and forth. So if you're a WPF developer, you'd be very effective writing phone apps or writing Windows Store apps.
Yeah.
So we start with WPF. We move on to Silverlight, which is we start with Silverlight on the desktop, and it runs on Mac too. And that's kind of where, that's been the core for the last 5 years for everybody else, right? Silverlight was kind of the new core, that subset that is very, very highly compilable everywhere. And again, mm-hmm. we backported some of the features that we've added on the Silverlight timeframe onto WPF, so you'll be able to go back and forth. But for Silverlight and for the desktop, we still have a Silverlight version. Mm-hmm. And then on the phone, we took Silverlight, and that's what we use on the phone. So you have you have the core Silverlight on the phone, and then we've actually brought that app onto the Windows Store. Mm-hmm. And the code name for the Windows Store is Jupyter. So you might have heard that, or you might hear us talk about Jupyter today, and that's kind of where we come from. So there's three versions, but it is the exact same SAML. You will be able to drag and drop your SAML back and forth. The concepts, the skills that you have are definitely something that you'll be able to go back and forth mm-hmm. with as we go.
And I want to say, I've seen XAML run on a number of platforms. There are some which are a little bit more confidential that we won't mention today, but I saw actually XAML run on embedded devices, which are used, in some kind of heads-up display or some sensor, small display. And some of our, you know, partners out there do some amazing work with that. And it was very much custom built, but they put XAML on it, which allowed me to come with my knowledge of Silverlight for the desktop and to be able to create in really no time some amazing animations, some UI which was extremely responsive, which was touch-oriented. It was a very small display, single touch, but we were able to do some, you know, this wave effect, some drag-and-drop operations, and it was all really Silverlight pretty much standard. So that was pretty cool.
Yep. And with that, we're done with Module 1. So that's kind of our introduction. That's our 0 to 15 miles per hour. From here on, we start moving a little bit faster, so don't worry about that. We had 5 minutes for Q&A. I'm seeing that Matthias and Nisha and Nicola have been answering all the questions, so I don't see anything that's open. But if you need 5 minutes to go run to the restroom, get a drink, get your popcorn, go ahead and do it right now.
And we'll have a cocktail, right? That's the plan.
Yeah, we'll cook those later.
Okay.
And we'll read the spec. We'll take the spec with us to the bar.
Very cool.
So that's kind of where we're at. I can read a couple questions that have already been answered that I think might be interesting to all people. Again, this is your kind of 5 minute break. Run to the restroom now. Go do whatever you need to do, and then we will move to Module 2 in about 4 minutes. But in the meantime, let me look through the questions and see some of what we have. I like this one. Which is more easy and flexible, HTML or SAML? I'll give you my answer, and then I can give you. So I think HTML is much simpler. So if I was to learn HTML, when I teach people HTML, there's a very limited number of elements, there's a very limited number of controls, and the concepts are a little bit simpler. They don't have data binding, they don't have a lot of the layouts are simpler.
We could argue with that. I mean, the data binding system is becoming very popular on HTML now with frameworks like Angular and Knockout, for example.
Yeah, and that's where you get into the JavaScript.
Sure.
Hang on 1 second. I got for 10-minute breaks, we actually go off the air. Right. So that means that timer, I still have 3 more minutes before the 10-minute Q&A?
Correct.
Oh, all right. Let me add some slides now.
The 10 minutes are not Q&A. We actually cut.
Oh, okay. So I've been told, sorry, as you can tell, we're very, very prepared here. I've been told that we have 2 more minutes, and then for the 10-minute break, they're going to go off the air. So the guys here are going to take a break. Are you a smoker? Is that the case? Probably. We probably have something going on here where he needs to go call a wife or something. So we're going to go off the air in 3 minutes. So let's make sure we tackle the questions, and then we'll come back every 10 minutes. Okay, I didn't know that.
So one thing, just to get back to that question, what is easier? So you say HTML is easier, and I tend to agree with you because it's much less extensible than XAML, right? XAML is really extensible. One thing which is really making XAML easier, I think, as a beginner, is that because it's strict, you have this whole tool support that you don't have in HTML. I mean, HTML, exactly. People love to type in Notepad, but it's really because nothing much else exists, right? So you have this huge IntelliSense, which is, because XAML is strict, you don't have a surprise. When you type dot, the compiler knows exactly what is coming, right? So I find that when you learn the XAML, really having this IntelliSense support is really a big help.
Yep. And to be very clear, I didn't say HTML was easier. I say HTML is simpler.
Simpler, okay.
Because
that's
with HTML, it's much simpler. Like, to go back to the point, right, if you take HTML with, whatever the core elements that they have, you don't get into the JavaScript frameworks and everything else, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Now, if you try to map something that you would have in HTML, like, let's say I wanted to do jQuery mobile with some, templating through Mustache or Handlebars, and, I wanted to do Angular or Knockout for data binding, et cetera. At that point, the complexity is so much, it's so much more.
Correct.
That I would actually argue that SAML is easier.
Could be.
Because we come together much better, and our tooling is so much better and much more effective.
Yeah,
and that's
also
me working for Microsoft, so I'm biased.
No, but I tend to agree with you, and I have a large, web development experience, so I saw both, right? And I remember the first time that I entered the Visual Studio Editor in 2008, in Visual Studio 2008, and I started typing, or I think the first time was even in Visual Studio 2005, really long time ago, and I saw this whole IntelliSense support, which really made me think, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I don't have to go and look, okay, what is my element now which is not closed in order to close it, right? And I was, very painful in HTML. I love to close my elements. I'm kind of weird that way. So it's really a big help.
So a really core, if you want to get the insight, something that you might care to know is that, again, we start with Avalon, and the architects for Avalon and WPF were all the ex-IE team. Like,
correct.
Those are the guys that had built IE6. At the time, IE6 was, you know, bleeding edge, and it was ahead of everybody by a long shot. And we had, like, Chris Anderson, Rob Relia. These were the guys that actually inspired. For example, I remember plenty of discussions where we sat down and we said, how do we do styling?
Mm-hmm.
Do we use CSS? Because CSS is really cool. Like, I have to give them that credit. It's so simple,
it's
so easy to read. But it wasn't very toolable. So mm-hmm. we spent a lot of time talking about, do we use CSS? Do we use styles with XML so we can make them more toolable?
Correct.
And if you think about HTML, like definitely when we started, we were, hey, let's take HTML, but let's make it powerful. Let's make it more flexible. Let's mm-hmm. make it more toolable. So it's where we came from. Now, I'm not saying one or the other. I love HTML. I love SAML.
Sure.
Use both. For Windows Store app, we have both. So you'll be mm-hmm. able to go back. And let me give these guys their break then. So we're actually going to go on break now. We'll be back in about 9 minutes because we're 42 seconds over since I wasn't planning it that way. And we'll be back in about 10 minutes and then we'll start again. So stay tuned. A lot more to come. 20 miles per hour and above comes next. So thank you.